Hello, this is The Ark. I'm Rachel Kahn, and today we're all a sea, the Black Sea, in fact, where the biblical flood probably took place. Well, that's what Ian Wilson's discovered by trawling through the archaeological evidence in the depths of this unique body of water, narrowly connected to the Mediterranean by the Straits of Bosphorus. Ian Wilson is a Cambridge-trained historian living in Queensland who likes to tackle religious topics that make many historians shudder, like the Turin Shroud, the life of Jesus, and Nostradamus. Now it's the biblical flood, but as you'll hear, he doesn't run with a crowd that believes Noah's Ark is atop Mount Ararat. Well, Ian Wilson, considering the number of amateur archaeologists who claim to have found Noah's Ark, your book, Establishing the Historical Evidence for the Biblical Flood, would put you in some very unusual company. Before I ask you about the actual story of the flood that you've uncovered, do you think there's evidence of the Ark on Mount Ararat?
Oh, I'm quite sure that is total baloney. I mean, Mount Ararat is very high, and you would have to imagine the world covered to, thousands of feet of water. And we know, so far as the geological evidence is concerned, that within the time that humans have been human, there has been no world flood of that sort of proportion at all. It would be impossible. All human life would have been exterminated. So that is not part of the picture. What fascinated me was how there was this myth, not only in the Bible, but also in so many other cultures as well, of a flood that certainly seemed to the people of the time of world proportions.
Indeed. Well, you begin the story of the flood with the evidence that a couple of oceanographers in the 1970s gathered in the Black Sea, which then prompted Robert Ballard of Titanic fame to explore the seafloor more fully for himself. What did they find that convinced them of a major flood in the area of the Black Sea?
What they found was that they were digging in the, using probes to dig into the seabed of the Black Sea. And the Black Sea is salt water, it's a sea. But what they found when they took core samples from the bed of the Black Sea was that although the upper part of the samples consisted of mollusks that were of the saltwater variety that you would expect, below these, all the marine life was of the freshwater variety, indicating that at one time the Black Sea had not been a sea connected up with the Mediterranean, but had been a lake, a freshwater lake. And the question was then, when did this really very major event, I mean, the Black Sea is very large, happen?
Well, that would involve carbon dating, I suppose.
That involved carbon dating, and what they found was a very, very clear pattern indeed, that all the freshwater organisms they found, they dated before 5,600 BC. All the saltwater ones dated after that date, more recent. And also that what they found was that there had been a huge cataclysm of all these marine organisms at that time. So they could say there was a very major catastrophe. And from piecing together other pieces of evidence, what it worked out was that, as you may be aware, the Black Sea is divided from the Mediterranean by a strait, which now has water in it. But originally there was land here, and what seems to have happened is that the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, was rising up and burst through. Why was the Mediterranean Sea rising? The answer is the Ice Age. Around 11,000 BC, you have the end of the Ice Age, and it sort of didn't just kind of end like that. It sort of sputtered out. But in the course of doing it, what people sort of are really not aware of is that a huge amount of ice that was locked up, certainly over the northern hemisphere, had to go somewhere. And of course, it ran off into rivers, which then went into the sea, which raised the world's sea levels enormously. And so all over the world, in fact, and we have effects of this even here in Australia, you have the sea level rising so that areas of land that were probably populated become covered, and populations are having to flee.
How rapidly was that water rushing in?
Well, in the case of the Black Sea, it was a burst. I mean, you had the water coming over, and what appears to have been a kind of natural dike that was holding the water back, all of a sudden, possibly as a result of earthquake action, because Turkey is very prone to this sort of thing, just simply collapsed, either under the weight of the water or by seismic activity. And then you have a rush. And the two marine biologists, Pittman and Ryan, they say, you know, you're talking of the force of many Niagara Falls that would suddenly have been sweeping over. And people in the path of that sort of thing would have been swept away, certainly those near to it.
Now, you mentioned the date of those core samples as being from the 6th millennium BC. How close is that to the date usually assigned by tradition to the biblical flood?
Well, it's difficult to know what date you would put to the flood in the Bible. I mean, there have been various sort of people who've been sort of fundamentalists over the centuries who've made calculations, and they've in fact put around 3000 BC for the flood. What is definite is that certainly in the area of Turkey, civilization had developed at that stage in a very surprisingly advanced way. People often assume, from what we're often told in school and so on, that civilization developed only in Egypt and Mesopotamia. In fact, the archaeological evidence has been around for quite a few years that Turkey has been the first place to really have, and of course Turkey is just south of the Black Sea, to have had advanced cultures. One of the most important of these being one that, an unpronounceable name, Çatalhöyük, which is a mound inland in Turkey and very high up. And that was excavated by an archaeologist called James Mellart back in the 1950s. And Mellart really was not believed at the time with the amount of evidence he was producing of an advanced township with excellent woodworking, producing very, very highly sophisticated frescoes and homes, all sorts of crafts and so on that were developed to a high degree of skill, a proper urban community with town planning and so on, fully developed, about 7,000 to 6,000 BC. And then, all of a sudden, you have this culture seemingly sort of kind of disappears. And what appears to have happened is that in the immediate period before this flood event, as we're now seeing, there was actually a dry period which caused people who were up in these high grounds to actually come down to get fresh water from this lake. The evidence of Çatalhöyük is that it was actually at this one point, around 6,000 BC, everybody left for reasons that only make sense if there was some form of serious drought and they could no longer survive up in the hills. So they come down, and of course you then appear to have a climatic change where suddenly, perhaps intense rains, perhaps also this cataclysmic bursting of the dike, the Mediterranean Sea rushing in. You then have what was a freshwater lake of the Black Sea turned into seawater. The composition of the Black Sea is very, very interesting in itself, because in the lower reaches, it is still to this day absolutely lethal from hydrogen sulfide, which seems to have been released from all the plants that were just suddenly inundated by this particular flood.
Now, that meant that Robert Ballard, when he was going along the sea floor, was able to find some implements of culture, some evidence of a very old culture that normally would not have been there were it not for this unusual characteristic of the water, which I gather preserved these things.
That's right, yes. I mean, the first thing was to, of course, establish whether you could see any signs of settlements down in the depths. And precisely because of this environment, you could not get down with people. You had to send the sort of submersibles that Robert Ballard used with Titanic and so on.
The Black Sea is, in fact, very, very deep, isn't it?
It is very deep, yes, and it sort of goes down quite, quite quickly. And it's at these lower depths that you have this high acid environment. And what he found, they were seeing ancient shorelines, and then they began to see remains that could only really be interpreted as of houses. And then they saw bits of debris lying around these houses, which, because no people were able to go down, they actually fished up by remote control. Now, some of them, disappointingly, have turned out to be just debris that people have chucked over from modern-day boats. But the evidence, nevertheless, is that here down in these depths of the Black Sea are the remains of the settlements that were overcome by the flood.
Now, you note that there was some squeamishness in scientific circles at the coincidence of a flood at around the 6th millennium BCE, which might be the flood from the Bible. Is there actually some resistance in scientific circles to find evidence that might confirm biblical events?
I think people are always wary of these sorts of things. A lot of scientists feel, well, you know, because we've introduced geology and geology shows there never was a world flood of the kind described in the Bible, that's it. What we now have is a scenario which is explaining why so many people around the world, and particularly those in the environs of the Black Sea, actually do remember an event which certainly seemed to them at that time a world flood. I mean, what is interesting about the Bible story is that Noah's Ark is described as being washed up on Mount Ararat, which is in Turkey. Now, how do you have a people down in Israel remembering an event which is saying that their ancestor was washed up on a mountain in Turkey? This is one of the many pointers to this particular event being the one remembered in the Bible. That doesn't mean to say that everything you have in the Bible relating to the story of Noah, you know, you can believe as gospel truth or anything like that. I'm not a fundamentalist. What I am asking people to do is to respect the Bible story as enshrining a genuine folk memory of an event that happened, as I would say, around 5600 BC, in which a lot of people were undoubtedly killed in the cataclysm. Others survived by somebody having a boat that they gathered all their livestock and so on in, and then survived to tell the tale which became the Noah story in the case of the biblical Israelites. And the people of Mesopotamia also had a very, very similar story indeed. So there appears to have been a common ancestor who, whether he was called Noah or what, was responsible for this particular story because he was one person who actually, with his family and livestock, survived this event.
Well, there's so much in your book, particularly about the goddess culture that was pervasive in the region. But you take another step into a pretty wildly sensational area when you float the possibility that the evidence for the flood may also prove Plato to be right about Atlantis.
Well, I don't think you can say prove Plato right. All you can say is that Plato's story may be yet another version of the flood story. You have a story of a culture, again, being overwhelmed in a great cataclysm. Now, I think by Plato's time, the story had become pretty adulterated, but I simply float the possibility in the book that this too may have originated in this one event, because the Greeks certainly had this story in their folk memory as well. They had the Deucalion story of somebody being overwhelmed by a flood and surviving. And I say, to me, this is very important when you have a series of different peoples in different cultures all remembering one event of this kind. Legends, myths, okay, they are often very tall stories, but they usually don't originate out of nothing. Something actually, very long time ago, usually, caused them to come into being. And to me, what so many of these stories are indicating is that they are memories of this Black Sea event of around 5600 BC.
That's Ian Wilson. For the full story, you'll have to read his book, Before the Flood.